Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Maryland COVID cases in the red. Prince George's, Anne Arundel, and Montgomery County tightening restrictions for masks and business capacity. School systems in Detroit, Indianapolis, Philadelphia, and suburban Minneapolis are giving up on in-person classes for now. Even Chicago today issuing a stay-at-home order. More than 140,000 new cases and 2,000 deaths reported today. And even with the promise of a vaccine, medical professionals are predicting a very, very dark winter. Tonight, we're taking a look at where we are with the COVID-19 pandemic and what we must do to stay safe. My guest is Dr. Reed Tuckson, co-chair of the Black Coalition Against COVID. And I want to hear from you tonight. How are you feeling? How are you doing as the weather cools off and we head toward winter and the coronavirus pandemic taking on a new face? Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You're certainly welcome to tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Tuckson, thanks for joining us. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. And this is a very serious moment and requires serious conversation.
Absolutely. So let's talk about that. How would you characterize where we are today?
We are right now at the inflection point for a disaster. The mathematics involved here are pretty simple, I think, for people to understand if you just stop and look at the numbers. The curve is moving so rapidly now in our country. The number of new cases for the three-week period that ended Monday nearly doubled. And so we had 1.9 million cases, previously 1.07 million. So we went to almost 2 million in a three-week period from about a million before that. And that is a really, really dramatic escalation. If this trend continues, and it looks like it will, by November 30th, we will have 13.5 million cases. And by December 21st, right around Christmas time, that number will be almost 20 million. We are on pace, Harold, to hit a million new cases a week by the end of this year. Now, it is not just these numbers are important in and of their own right, but what it also is signaling is the number of people who will inevitably die is also going to be high, and the number of people who will need hospitalization is going to tax and overwhelm hospital systems all around the country. This is a serious moment.
Just today, Maryland Governor Larry Hogan announced a $70 million in CARES money, and it's literally like he was just picking up, you know, a handful of bag fertilizer and just kind of spreading it out. It's not for one thing. I mean, it's for PPE. It's for rental assistance. It is for businesses. It is for unemployment. All of those kinds of things. But the reality is that even at this late date, there are still so many needs that are apparently are not going addressed, and governments are really scrambling.
This is the result of this extraordinarily failed leadership on the part of the federal government. We have seen this act before. We've already been through this at a smaller scale, and we know what the way it looks. We know that there are going to be hospitals all around the country and in our region who don't have enough PPE equipment to protect our frontline health workers. We know that people who are going to need to quarantine inside of their homes, there will be so many people who are poor and who don't have resources, who are going to struggle with food insecurity and basic social needs. We know that there are going to be challenges for people who cannot work because we're going to have to contract on the on the work environment in our cities. So we know what happens. We've played this game before, and to be caught unprepared a second time makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. What could we be thinking about? We know what's going to happen. We know what the consequences are, and we should have been much more prepared for this than we are today.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are looking at the COVID-19 pandemic. We are now about 10 months in, and we're asking where we are and what we must do to stay safe. I want to know what you think about the pandemic and what you are doing to stay safe. Give me a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. One of the things that may be shocking for a lot of individuals is that, you know, local leaders and even state leaders are continuing with the refrain, no Thanksgiving gatherings. Is that too much? I mean, we're talking Thanksgiving. That, you know, that is one of the biggest travel holiday seasons of the year.
So Thanksgiving is a time when we come together to give literally thanks and praise and love to our families. It's a time when we carry on the promulgation of us as a family and the celebration of it. In this particular era, in this year, at this moment, to have a Thanksgiving celebration that is like the ones we had before is to ruin every element that I just described. It is to visit and bring with it death and destruction to our family. Let us be very clear about what the data is telling us. We know from contact tracing, but as we trace how people got this disease, where they got it from, how they acquired it. We absolutely know for certain now, all around this country, that the scariest part and the most frequent mode of transmission now is people inside of homes, people visiting each other in their homes, bringing the infection with them into the home, people not having masks on, of course, inside of their home as they go about their daily activities, and are spreading the virus. Secondly, we know that it is increasingly now spread by people, of course, being in indoor environments such as restaurants and in bars. So we know how this happens. We know that in the Black community, we have such a high preponderance of our people who have chronic illnesses that put us at great risk for having this disease. And so, yes, Thanksgiving has to change this year. And we need to face that and understand that. But I would have a hard time, Harold, to get my mind around someone who says, this holiday of celebrating my love for my family is so important that I'm going to risk the life of the members of my family so that we can sit at the same table and carve that turkey. Mm-hmm. There are other ways of approaching it this year. And I do believe, as strongly as I can say it, that our celebration of the love we have for our family is manifest by how we celebrate this year in a different way, using different forms that say, I love you, I care about you, please, let's stay home this year.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about the COVID-19 pandemic, where we are right now, and what we must do to stay safe. Let's talk to Yeshaya, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Hello?
Hello. Yes. Hello, how are you?
Just fine, thank you. Go right ahead.
I was calling to make a comment that represents the immune system.
Go ahead.
The immune system is very Can you hear me?
Yes, turn your radio down and go right ahead, please.
Yes, I was calling in regards to the immune system. The immune system is very important to be strong and healthy. What I've been doing during the corona season, I've been taking fresh ginger, juicing beet, celery, apple, garlic, and olive oil. Keeping that immune system healthy is so important, and as well as holistic, exercising, rest, deep breathing. These are things that we have to continuously say to ourselves, because the fresh juicing is important, the beets, the celery, the apple, the ginger, as well as the turmeric. The stronger your immune system is, the better you will be able to fight the virus that's in the air. We don't know where it's actually from, but as your immune system is stronger, you will get stronger and you will feel better. So I recommend saying it over the news, saying it to your friends, saying it to Steve Harvey. Everybody, sound the alarm to build your immune system.
Dr. Tuckson, your thoughts about what Yeshaya is sharing with us?
I will also agree with her that the immune system is what this is all about. It is our immune system, this internal ability to fight off foreign invaders, foreign viruses that come into our bodies. The science on some of the things that you have mentioned, I can't comment on because we don't have the science to say that those things, that I can recommend them as therapeutic interventions. But the one part that I can absolutely endorse is the importance of mindfulness and the sense of meditation and of being calm. That is a very important thing for us now, because all of us are at such heightened levels of anxiety. We're so tense. And I do know that there is science that tells us that as we are able to reduce that anxiety and that tension and practice these sorts of mindfulness techniques that she mentioned, those are things that I can endorse as being very positive. And I would urge every one of the parents that are listening to the show tonight to begin to introduce those kinds of techniques to their children. Our children do need to understand mindfulness techniques, meditation techniques. This is going to be extremely important to them, particularly because now, as you mentioned, Harold, at the top of the show, that school systems will continue to be decentralized and kids will not be able to be in physical buildings. They'll be spending so much time in front of these computers that there does need to be a calming alternative. And I do think we should start to focus on that for our children.
But let's be clear, Dr. Tuckson, and I'm no doctor, you're the doctor on the program, but mental health and mindfulness, this coronavirus doesn't pay any attention to that.
No, it doesn't. But what it does do and what we're trying to get to is, and by the way, and I'm glad you said that, because what you are obviously wanting us to emphasize is that none of the things that we have just discussed take the place of or replace mask wearing, social distance, and frequent hand washing. So there's absolutely that to be said. But what we are getting at is that having unusually high levels of anxiety and tension have its own effect on the body and our ability to fight off infection. So that's what we are saying. We want to give ourselves enough rest, enough peace of mind, enough comfort so that we stay strong enough to fight off the things that will be coming our way.
Yeshaya, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about the coronavirus pandemic, where we are right now and what we must do to stay safe. Let's talk to Shireen calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Shireen. What's on your mind?
Yes.
Go right ahead.
Hi. So I had a suggestion. My suggestion was to my family members to, why don't we all get tested? And then it's a small gathering and all come together and have something. So what do you guys think about that? I came to my family, and this was actually recently, and some of them were for it and some of them were against it because of the trust factor after we get tested and to quarantine ourselves and then come together. I just came up with that suggestion. And that's something that people can also consider in doing.
What do you think about that, Dr. Tuckson? She's suggesting that people get tested before their Thanksgiving gathering.
It would be great if we could actually pull that off. So what we have is a perfect learning laboratory with the National Basketball Association, where they took all of their players, they quarantined them for 14 days. They were strict and meticulous quarantine. They tested them at the end of that 14 days to make sure they were negative, and they tested them every day during the interim while they were there. So they have a really clear sense. So if you had the ability to have everyone not having traveled, not gone anywhere, to be in quarantine together, then test to make sure they're negative, and then be able to have your celebration, that might be an idea that could work. Pulling that off is an extremely complicated thing to do, to be able to get the testing results and to be in quarantine. But if you can do that and assure yourselves that people not only have tested negative, but have stayed in a quarantine environment, so where they didn't go out in the streets and they weren't exposing themselves to risks outside of their control, if you can do all of that, that might be possible. But that is a very rare feat to pull off. And getting that kind of testing done would be a major challenge for almost all of us.
Okay, Shireen, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about the COVID-19 pandemic and what we must do to stay safe. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. Terrence from Maryland, Sam from Virginia, you are next. And we still have plenty of space on the phones for you to come in with a question or a comment. The original Quiet Storm with John Mons is next. This conversation continues on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are looking at the COVID-19 pandemic as we move into the colder months and what we must do to stay safe. My guest is Dr. Reed Tuckson, co-chair of the Black Coalition Against COVID. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Terrence, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Terrence. What's on your mind?
Yes. I was just calling concerning the vaccine is supposed to be used for everybody and available for everybody during June, around that area, around that time. Is it going to be forced on everybody? Are we going to have to take the vaccine? And I heard so many things about the vaccine, I don't even know if I really want to take it.
So even before you answer that question, what? Give me an example of what you have heard, Terrence, so that we can kind of get an understanding.
I've heard that it has animal products in it that will actually alter our DNA. I've heard that things that it has nanobots in it, things where they can track you, all kinds of things I've heard about.
Dr. Tuckson, I'll let you start with that. I have some thoughts about that as well, but go right ahead, please.
Well, one of the things that has been so frustrating about our experience with COVID has been the amount of misinformation and disinformation that is being pumped into our community. And so our guest caller is reflecting information that is being deliberately pumped into us to make us fearful about a vaccine. It is absolutely not true and impossible for anyone to do any of the things that you are concerned about. And so I can tell you unequivocally, nobody can be putting nanotechnology robots inside of us through this vaccine or animal products or any of that. That is simply not the case. As far as anyone forcing us to take the vaccine, no one can force you to take the vaccine. The only places that is even conceivable that forced compliance with vaccination could occur could be in certain workplace environments, such as people taking care of people in hospitals. There may be occasions there where employers may want to push for that. But in terms of the general public, No one can force you to do it. That being said, I would be very concerned if our community was not willing to take a vaccine that was proven, and let me be very clear, proven to be safe and effective. If we have vaccines that are proven to be safe and effective, then it would seem only logical and reasonable that we would be wanting to make sure we had access to those vaccines, because we are the ones who are dying in such much higher, larger numbers than the rest of the public. It's our grandmama and our grandfather and our friends and our neighbors who are dying. So if there was a cure, a vaccine that could prevent this disease from occurring, why wouldn't we want to? And I am very worried that there are people who do not have our survival at heart, who want to mess with our survival and diminish it, who are trying to put all this negative information into our community to make us do things against our own best nature.
And the only other thing I would say about, you know, some of the things that you are hearing, Terrence, and that's why I specifically asked you what you were hearing, because the animal products, the nanobots, the injection of things that'll make you glow under certain light, all of that comes from QAnon conspiracy theorists. Those are the same people who have accused Hillary Clinton of being the head of a child sex trafficking group, and the Pizzagate conspiracy that landed a man in prison. So, you know, be careful of what you're hearing, and that's one of the reasons that, you know, that people like myself, organizations like, you know, WHUR, and well-vetted journalistic organizations, New York Times, L.A. Times, Washington Post, Miami Herald, et cetera, are here, because there's so much Kool-Aid out there. And we don't want you drinking the Kool-Aid. We want to give you the best and most accurate information. So watch out for those QAnon conspiracy theories. They are dangerous, and at best, they are unhelpful. But, Terrence, thank you so much for sharing with us. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Sam, calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling, Sam. What's on your mind?
This is what's on my mind. Vitamin D deficiency is linked to worsening COVID if you catch it. And this has been proven. There are many studies which are written. Anyone who is of African descent or has black or brown skin is likely to be deficient in vitamin D. As you know, it comes from the sun, and as in the northern hemisphere, as we go into the winter, we are getting less of UVB, hence less vitamin D in our skin, in our body. They are linked. So please, I hope that this is put out very clearly, that vitamin D deficiency is going to make it worse when you get COVID, you're going to be worse off. The studies are everywhere. In fact, elderly people also tend to have less vitamin D because of their skin being less elastic and so on.
Sam, let me see what Dr. Tuckson has to say about vitamin D deficiencies. And more broadly, Dr. Tuckson, can you talk about some of the many factors that can contribute to a negative impact from getting the coronavirus?
We have so much more to learn about this disease, and let us be very clear that science is working very hard to understand it. COVID is a very complex attack system, and it invades us and produces effects that are complex and far-reaching. One of the things, for example, that we are seeing is the various manifestations of the disease in different people. And we see it in terms of its effect on blood vessels, producing stroke-like symptoms, and a variety of other clotting disorders. And just to mention some of the kinds of ways in which this multifactorial syndrome occurs in different people. So we will still learn more about these kinds of triggers. What we do know, without question, is that when you have pre-existing diseases such as diabetes, heart disease, or lung diseases, or if you are overweight, that all of these are negative contributors to being able to fight off this disease. And we also know that the reason that the Black community has such a higher incidence of this is not only because we have the higher incidence of these pre-existing conditions, but because we are the ones who are working in frontline environments, exposing us to people who don't wear their masks, and we are living in more hot, crowded conditions, thereby giving the virus a chance to spread. I am not aware of yet the scientific validity or proof of the issues around vitamin D, and what you do not see is that vitamin D therapeutics are being used as part of the treatment regimen in American medicine today. And we don't see that occurring. And so the science yet is not convinced at a level of scientific evidence that this is an important enough issue that changes the way the disease is treated. So I will say that though we are always humble in science and we pay a lot of attention to what we know and what we don't know, and we keep trying to learn. And so let's just stay tuned and see whether or not this caller's suggestion bears out as we learn more.
Okay. Sam, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. I want to piggyback on what you just said, and I want to just kind of, ball all of these things together. One of the things that I have found since we have been speaking to the experts such as yourself, infectious disease experts, and other medical professionals, the thing that is so perplexing about COVID-19 and the coronavirus is that you spoke about pre-existing conditions, those comorbidities, diabetes, hypertension, obesity. And yet there are people who become infected. And I know of several of them personally who've had, based on what they've shared with me, they don't have any of those pre-existing conditions. And yet they become terribly, terribly sick. And yet then you have, and they are, outside of the, that target age group. They may be, they may be very, very healthy. And yet they get, terribly sick. We have seen fitness people on social media who have contracted the disease, and they have gotten really sick. And then you had some other people who have had some of these comorbid situations, and they recover. What is that, for lack of a better way to ask the question, Dr. Tuckson?
And I, one of the things that people in science and medicine like to do is to be certain and to be correct and to have the answers to all the questions. And it's sometimes very hard for us to be humble. And in this case, Harold, we have to be humble and say there is just so much about this we do not know. This is a very complicated disease, and we cannot always reasonably predict what will be the course of action. To complicate your very eloquent presentation, we also have the other side of the coin, and that is people who do get sick, why do some people recover very rapidly and others are what we call long haulers, people who are experiencing all kinds of sequela and complications for a long period of time? We don't know that answer to that question either, and so we have a lot to learn. What does this mean as we try to make it plain for the audience? What it is saying to us is that until we know more, let's just make sure we don't get this disease. This is not a disease you want to play Russian roulette with odds you cannot calculate. And so, again, it comes back to let's stop the community spread of this disease And then when everything calms down, we can understand and get to the factors that are occurring. But the last thing is this, Harold, which while this is a frustrating thing to talk about, the miracle of the human body, the complexity of something like the immune system in the human body, you know, we like to sort of say to ourselves, I'm going to take this particular substance or that substance, and that will have this dramatic effect on my immune system. I think what people are getting from the way you laid it out is that our bodies are extraordinarily complex organisms with multiple elements that must come together in various harmonic or, in some case, disharmonic ways. And so let's remember to be, at one level, in awe and respect for the complexity of the human body. And on the other hand, let's make sure that we try to treat it well. But at the end of the day, for you to decide that you think you are going to be a super person and are immune to the effects of this disease is probably, and not only probably, is certainly the dumbest idea that you could ever have.
Are you recommending a flu shot?
Absolutely. I took mine already, and I am begging everyone to do it. And the reasons are twofold. Number one, the last thing we want you to do is to get the flu and be in a weakened and debilitated state, which, of course, sets you up to be able to even less able to fight against the COVID vaccine. But number two, I am really concerned, Harold, about the capacity of our hospital and healthcare system. As we indicated at the top of the show, hospitalizations are rising rapidly. And all around the country now, we're seeing hospitals who are already overwhelmed with no beds to be able to treat people. If we have people pouring into our hospitals with the traditional flu season challenges plus COVID, we will absolutely outrun our capacity as a healthcare system to be able to manage people. And that's not including the person who gets a heart attack or a stroke at their home tonight. So we have got to turn off this flu, seasonal flu disease. And the only way that we can turn that spigot off is everybody get their vaccination.
Well, I got mine 3 weeks ago. I don't mess around with the flu. I don't miss a flu shot. I know a lot of people still have problems with it. I don't mind telling you or our listeners, I'm a flu baby. I refuse to miss the flu shot, and you know, by extension, the reason is because having, you know, had the flu and then you know, as a young child having it turn into pneumonia when I didn't get a flu shot. And so, you know, I think that that's a very, very important piece. You know, certainly not forcing anyone to get it, but you better get it. I'm not playing with the flu. So that's a whole nother level of conversation. What is this? Are we in the, you know, that second surge right now, or is this just, you know, a continuation of the first surge?
You know, I think it's a question that we, you know, we can talk about, but quite frankly, I think it's a distinction without meaning. We are basically all just rolling in the same surge that began from day one. We never got it under control as a country. We've never had a real plateauing, but I guess you could, if you wanted to, say that there was maybe a short window of time where things calmed down a bit across the nation, and now we're seeing it spike back up again. But the point, I guess, the real point that comes out of your question and what it means to all of us in practical, functional terms is this. We do know that when people were more vigilant about wearing their masks, before they got tired, before they got worn out, and when we were in the summer months, when people were congregating outdoors much more than they were gathering together indoors, we did see the numbers start to come down. So in that sense, it ought to give us some confidence that we do understand that the guidance that public health has been preaching now since the beginning of this pandemic was actually correct, that when you are separated in distance, when you are wearing your mask, and when you are not congregating for long periods of time indoors with other people who are not immunized and who are not safe, that we know that, in fact, that those things work. So in that sense, Harold, we can learn that lesson. Regrettably, we can also now learn the lesson that it is inevitable that when people are tired of masks and don't wear them, when they are congregating indoors where the air is dry and the humidity is low, which allows the virus to be more hardy and to last longer, we know that when that happens, bad things occur, and thus we are seeing the numbers that we are seeing today.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Lynn, calling from D.C., thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes,
Lynn?
Hello.
Yeah, go right ahead,
yeah,
please.
Hi, I'm just calling basically to back up some of the other callers. I personally, these surges, I mean, there's such high surges in different states. It's unbelievable. And I guess it's due to, I don't know if it's due to not wearing, I'm sure these people are wearing masks. And so the surges are just unbelievable if you put on the television. As far as the vaccine is concerned, at this point, and I say this point to stress it, I don't know who to trust at this point, not even the doctors, because I believe that a lot of the doctors don't have a lot of the information as to what's in the vaccine and how it could possibly affect different people who are taking it. So I don't think we really know at this point. I don't think we can really say. So as you're talking about drinking the Kool-Aid, yeah, there's a lot of Kool-Aid out there, but some of it's some of the information that we're getting out there, I don't know about controlling you and this and that, robotics and all of the other stuff that you was talking about. I don't know about that, but I'm talking about as far as things that you could be allergic to, and we also have to be reminded of why some of us could feel a little tense about taking a vaccine, because we did have some vaccine trials back in the day, syphilis trials that affected a lot of males back at that time. So we have to look at all of that, and that's probably one of the reasons why we don't have a lot of confidence. I give it a wait and see, and see just exactly, and if they could probably tell you what the ingredients are in it that you're putting into your body, that would probably make a lot of people feel more comfortable. And thank you for taking my call.
Well, Dr. Tuckson, do you want to start with the syphilis thing and then because you and I had this discussion just yesterday.
I would say, first of all, the past egregious activities like the syphilis study are things that are important to remember in our history. But today is not that day. The people that are in charge of overseeing so much of the enterprise now of research are people of color. The person who runs the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute at the NIH is a black man. The person who's working on these vaccines, where the principal scientist is a black female scientist. There are black people who are on all of the study commissions reviewing the data. So today is not the same as back in the 1930s. And there have been very rigorous research protections that have been implemented in this country as a direct result of the syphilis study. So be very clear, today is not then. And we are in a great position. The National Medical Association, the four black medical schools, the National Black Nurses Association, all of us are bound together now, participating at every level in this understanding of the truth of the vaccines, whether they work and whether or not they are safe. The only other thing I'll say, Harold, before you make your comment, is I want to be very clear. I was very clear earlier about things that we know and things that we don't know. So one thing we do know, without any shadow of a doubt. The reason that the surges are occurring in those parts of the country is because people are not wearing their masks. In particular, we are especially concerned about the college campuses, where young people who have been going out in bars and clubs and then spreading it throughout those communities and then returning home and infecting their communities back home. It is there's no question, there's no mystery of how this virus spreads. It spreads because we are not wearing our masks enough and because we're not social distancing, and we're bringing those viruses into closed environments and spaces such as bars, clubs, and into our homes. Please do not be confused about what we don't know. We know now that if we would simply have everyone follow the advice of wearing their masks, we could save 70,000 American lives in the next 3 months. That's for real. So don't get confused about what we know and what we don't know.
And I want to say, you know, Lynn, first of all, you should ask questions. You should ask as many questions as you see fit to ask to make sure that you are well-informed and you have all of the information, you know, needed. And I'm also glad to hear, as you said, that you are, you know, paying attention to the news and trying to separate the wheat from the chaff, so to speak. One of the things that we are seeing right now, the surge in El Paso, Texas, is because if you remember, you know, earlier this year, because the mask was considered a political statement, and you had some states such as Florida and Texas, where, you know, the governors were walking the line about masks and not saying, yes, please wear a mask, you should. You know, they were willy-wagging, for lack of a better term, on that. Well, then that's what we're seeing now in El Paso. And that is why we are seeing all of the crackdowns in the state of Maryland. Now we're seeing them, I mean, even in, my goodness, South Dakota. You know, Dr. Tuckson, who would have thought that in places like South Dakota, again, where these things were, where you have a limited population, a large rural population where people are still spread out, but people assume that they're safe and they're not wearing masks, and when they get together, they're not social distancing. Who would have thought that these things would have happened? And so I think, yes, you really, you know, should ask questions. You should, you know, pay attention. The last thing, and I'll tell you what Dr. Tuckson told me yesterday. He kind of scolded me, and I love him for it. The Tuskegee experiment was not a trial. It was not. It wasn't a. You know, they injected black men with syphilis and then just waited to see what happened. You know, that's, you know, that is like Dr. Tuckson said. That is not what's going on, you know, today. But
do you have 10 seconds, Harold?
No, I've got more time than that. It's your show. Go right ahead.
No. I also want to commend our listener for being thoughtful.
Right.
The one thing I just want to absolutely also have everyone remember, there is, as of today, no vaccine that has been proven to be safe and effective. No one is, as of today, saying to you that there is a vaccine that we know enough about to make a recommendation that anyone take. The clinical trials, even for the Pfizer one that's in the news, has not been completed. The data has not been reviewed by all of the external bodies that need to review it and that will review it prior to it being released to the public. So I just think we also need to be a little bit cautious and remember that we do. When people think that we're going to be, that someone is inflicting a vaccine on the public, there is no vaccine to give to the public until and unless it meets an extraordinary high level of scientific review. And that review will be very transparent. And I guarantee you, there will be physicians of color who will be looking at that data and giving part of the recommendation for whether or not it is safe to give to the American people.
Lynn, keep asking questions. Keep being thoughtful. We need more people like you to have healthy skepticism and, you know, intellectual curiosity. I mean, you're the first person I've ever heard say, well, tell me what's in it first. You know, whether you're a medical professional or not, the bottom line is the fact that you want to know. And I think that is so important to guarantee the health of yourself and your loved one. So, Lynn, thank you so much for calling. I really appreciate it. Dr. Tuckson, I've got about a minute. Your final thoughts about where we are and where we're going.
Make a decision, each and every one of you. If you love your family, if you love your people, if you love your community, do what you need to do. Unfortunately, this is not the year to celebrate Thanksgiving and Christmas in person, but show your love in other ways. Show your love in being responsible and not spreading this virus across our community. Have an undying love for your people and all people. Do the right thing. You know what to do.
Yeah, well said. Dr. Reed Tuckson, with the Black Coalition Against COVID. Thank you so much. Good to talk to you. You know I'm going to be calling you.
The Howard University.
You know I'm going to be calling you. I'll never forget. So look, thank you, Dr. Tuckson. We'll be talking soon.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
That is The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Thursday, November 12th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for Unheard with Wes Hall. Good night.